Psalm chapter 9, I've titled this morning's message, I Am Not, But I Know I Am. Look at your neighbor and say, I am not, but I know I am. Please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Three verses for you, 9, 10, and 11, out of Psalm chapter 9. The word of the Lord declares to us that the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. I thank you, God, for the revelation that you have shared already throughout this week. Revelation of your sanctifying nature. Revelation of your very present help in our times of trouble. Revelation of our need and our ability to sing praises unto your name, that you are worthy and that you alone are worthy. I thank you, God, for all of these truths and for the word that you have prepared for us today. Lord, I pray that you would open our understanding, that we would know you better this day, that we each could draw closer to you than we were when we walked into this house. Lord, let no one change except through your Holy Spirit working. Let it not be through our own understanding, but through the wisdom imparted by the Holy Spirit. Let it not be of our own will, for that falls short. But Lord, I pray that you would infuse the Holy Spirit into us to, Lord, propel us into a new understanding, a new level of recognition as we look at our relationship with you. Father, we thank you for that this morning. And Father, we give you all the praise and glory for this in Jesus' precious and holy name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God one more hand clap of praise in his house. Come on, let's praise him like we mean it this morning. Hallelujah. Let's wake up that 11 o'clock crowd who's still sleeping. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you see, to tell your neighbor, I know I am. I love that middle verse of our selected passage. It says, those who know your name will put their trust in you. He opens up by saying that the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. I know I am not what I need to be. I know I am not able to weather many of the storms that hit me in life. I know that I am not able to find solutions to all my problems. I know that I am not able to fix all that is wrong with me. I know that I am not who I desire to be or who God desires me to be. But I thank God today that I know the one who is able to make me into his image, to conform me into his likeness, to enable me to be the man of God that he's called me to be, the father he desires me to be, the husband he desires me to be, the pastor he desires me to be, the friend he desires me to be. I know I am not. But I also know the great I am. And that is the Lord God Jehovah. That is the Lord that we serve and we celebrate today. Can somebody give him praise in the house? Yeah. And it's important that you know him today. I'm not talking about knowing about him. I'm talking about knowing the Almighty God. Verse 10 says, those who know your name will put their trust in you. Job chapter 22 puts it this way. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. Philippians 3 puts it this way. The Apostle Paul says, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I count them rubbish that I may gain Christ, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The reason that I am up here today, the reason God has called me into the pastorate, is given in Ephesians chapter 4. It says that God gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher the fivefold ministry for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. I'm talking about knowing God this morning. Charles Spurgeon once wrote that ignorance is worst when it amounts to ignorance of God, and knowledge is best when it exercises itself upon the name of God. This most excellent knowledge leads to the most excellent grace of faith. Oh, to learn more of the attributes and character of God. End quote. You know, in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus declares that He stands at the door and knocks. He's waiting for someone to open the door and let Him in. He's waiting for someone to have fellowship with Him, to get to know Him, and to know His character, and to know His attributes. Earlier in the Gospels, there's a point where He said, look, there will be many on that day that I say, depart from me, worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. That tells me that many will say, Lord, Lord. Understand that a relationship with God is not just a matter of what you say. They say to Him, Lord, Lord. But a relationship with God is not just a matter of what you call Him, or the words that come out of your mouth. That's not an indication of your relationship with God. There are many who say the right things. There are many who say wonderful prayers, or sing beautiful lyrics, or quote numerous scripture. Yet the Word of God says your relationship with Him is not based merely on what you say. They go on to say in that scripture, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We prophesied in your name. Yet Jesus still says, you are not in right relationship with me. Therefore, we see that a right relationship with God is not simply a matter of what you do. There are many who are doing powerful things in the name of Jesus, but have no relationship with Him. There is the confession of the mouth, and there is a need to submit to the work of God in your life. But understand that the knowledge of God in a personal relationship is a necessity if we are to maintain our precious relationship with God. So let me ask, how do we know someone? How do we truly get to know someone? We don't get to know someone simply because we say the right things or we do the right things. You could ask someone to be your spouse. You can do the right things, such as buy a nice ring and get their parents' permission. You can send out wedding invitations and have a grand ceremony, but that doesn't mean you know them. You ain't going to know them for about another year or 18 months after living together. Amen? When you learn the irks and idioms, the rules and regulations that now guide the house. I remember before I was married, I made a very strong point once on the issue of the toilet seat being up or down. You say, Pastor, I can't believe you're talking about that on a Sunday morning. Well, this is about as real as it gets in marriage. And I used to always make the point, why don't we just keep the toilet seat up all of the time? That way you don't ever have to worry about sitting down and it being wet. Come on. Does that, you know, it made sense? Come on, guys. Don't leave me hanging out here. If the woman needs it down, she can put it down. Otherwise, she's protecting herself by keeping it up. Then I got married. And I found out that means diddly squat in the whole toilet scenario. Not only will that lid be down, the whole lid will be down. Because it looks pretty with the little furry rug on it. Amen? You don't get to know someone until you've been with them for a while. You know, church is the same way. You can go to church, you can do the right things, you can say the right things, but that doesn't mean that you have a right relationship with God. Do not confuse knowledge about the person with intimacy. There are many Christians who were raised in church but not raised in Christ. Many churches that teach about the outside but not about the inside. They teach about rules, but not about relationships. They're more concerned with pleasing people than with pleasing God. When we see God talking about knowing Him in the Scripture, it is not enough to know about Him. It requires an intimate relationship. Let me ask you a question real quick. Who is this man to you? Who do you say he is? Jesus asked this question in Matthew 16. I submit to you it's the most important question ever asked. The disciples had returned. They had been sent out two by two to preach the gospel. And when they returned, Jesus said, "Who do they say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." And then he stops and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" The abundance of your blessing, the strength of your Christian walk, the quality of your Christian character, all are determined by and can be measured against how you answer this single question. Who do you say he is? Not just when you're talking to friends, not when you're shouting amen at the church, not when blessings are being poured out and prayers are being answered, but when you're home at night and no one is watching. When you got a bad report from the doctor. When your marriage is on the rocks. When your finances just took what seems to be a fatal blow. Who do you say he is? More to the point, let me ask it this way. What Jesus do you serve? Such a question causes us to evaluate the very core of our beliefs. What Jesus do you serve? Do you serve a stained glass Jesus? A person from religious history who has very little real relevance for your life? Do you serve a rabbit's foot Jesus? A kind of good luck charm that we carry around in our pockets in case we need it? Do you serve a genie in the bottle Jesus? That if we rub him the right way, he'll jump up and serve us and grant our wishes? Do you serve a life insurance Jesus? Who is just someone that guarantees you can avoid hell when you die? Who do you say that he is? Friends, I come today to say that he is everything the Bible says he is. He is the Word become flesh. He is not some deity in a distant, faraway heaven. He is a very present help in our time of trouble. He is the wonderful, the counselor, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is at the right hand of power as my intercessor and my advocate. He is my righteousness, my deliverer, and my provider. He is Lord and Savior. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you give Him praise today? If we understand who He is, then that means at any given moment, you are only one step from turning a failure into a success, or a defeat into a victory, or a bondage into a blessing, or a problem into a promise, or death into life. Do you know Him today? I'm not talking about knowing church. I'm not talking about knowing the Bible. I'm talking about knowing the author of the Bible. He desires not to be a stone idol in your life. An unknown God you visit only when you have a need or on Christmas or Easter, or even a God that you worship for an hour or so on Sunday before you return to the busy pace of your life. The Father wants to know you, to walk with you in the cool of the day, to talk with you as a friend. He wants to show you things you can't imagine. He wants to bless you in ways you can't comprehend. He wants to help you on the journey. He wants to heal your hurts. He wants to meet your needs. But to do so, you must meet with Him. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Grace, the unmerited favor of God, and peace, that soundness of mind. These are multiplied by knowing God intimately. So here's what I'm going to do. Here's my assignment today. You say, how do we get to know God? Well, the obvious is you spend time with Him in prayer and in the Word. But notice what Psalm chapter 9 tells us. It speaks about the name of God. You see, knowing someone also encompasses knowing their character and their attributes. And if you want to know God, all you have to do is focus on His name. Throughout Scripture, names are always important. Names stood for the character of the one they represented. Moses' name means drawn out. Abraham's name means father of many. Isaac's name means laughter. Jacob means deceiver. David means beloved. Peter means a stone. Jesus' name means the Lord is salvation. Yes. Thank you, God. Names say everything about that person. And when a person's life changed direction, they often received a new name. Jacob became Israel. He went from deceiver to a prince with God. Simon became Peter. He came from one who hears to a stone, a rock, a solid foundation. Saul became Paul. Time and again, we see the importance of names. Look at it this way. When you look at the Ten Commandments, the first one is, "You shall have no other gods before me." Following is, "You shall make no graven image or no graven idol." These two are asking us, who is going to be the master of your life? But look at the third commandment. The third commandment is, "You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." In other words, you will not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Why is that so important? Because His name represents His character. Yes. In order to know Him, you must know His name. And therefore, He says, do not use my name in any way that is not fitting of me, because that's how you're going to get to know me. Once you know my name, a name is personal. It marks God's character. It marks God's covenant. And there are many names for God throughout the Scripture. Elohim is the first name we find of God in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth." Now, I would also point out that's the first indication of the Trinity in the Bible. God singular is El, E-L. God in a duality is Elah. God in a Trinity is Elohim. So right there in Genesis 1 verse 1, it says God is a Trinity. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. He's also known as El Shaddai. 48 times in Scripture that title is used. It means Almighty God, or the God who is more than enough. Adonai, the third name God uses for Himself in Scripture. It's found about 300 times in the Old Testament. This represents lordship and ownership. It identifies God as the one who rules over everything that exists. Perhaps the most frequently used name for God, however, in Scripture, is not El or Elohim or El Shaddai or Adonai, but it is Yahweh, Jehovah, the covenant name of God. It appears 6,800 times in your Bible. Jehovah. The covenant name of God. Literally, I am. When Moses is standing at the burning bush, and he says, "Whom shall I say sent me?" Jehovah, I am. Do you know I am today? Do you know the covenant of God? You see, His name encapsulates His character and His promise. Now, we see that in the New Testament. When you think I am, we jump very quickly on the seven I am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Jesus kept referring back to the name of God and the covenant of God as an indicator of His character and His promise. But I want to show you something else today. If you're taking notes, you're going to be blessed. I'm going to do more of a preaching than a preaching this morning. Is that okay? I might get a little preach on, but I want to show you something about the beauty and the awesomeness of God's Word as we come to know Him and His character. Let's talk about the name Jehovah. The covenant name of God. The I Am. Well, that name becomes a prefix time and again throughout Scripture to identify His character, who He is and who He will be for you. For example, there is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. I am your provider is what that says. You'll first find that in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. And if at any time you fall behind in your notes, I'm happy to give you all of these notes so you can study this out. But this is where in Genesis 22, God makes the declaration, I am your provider. I am your exceedingly great reward. That's why David could say, my cup runneth over. I have been old, I have been young, and now I'm old, David said. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendant begging bread. Because God is my provider. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Give Him an empty cup, He'll give you a wet tablecloth. Bring Him your tithe, He'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you don't have room to receive. Give Him your lunch and He'll feed a multitude. Give Him your faith and He'll move a mountain. Give Him your hand and you can walk on water. Give and it shall be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom, because God is your provider and He never runs empty on pouring out His blessings on those who know Him and love Him and trust Him. Can you give God praise? I've come to tell someone that if you're trusting in the stock market, if you're putting your primary trust in the bank, if you're putting your primary trust in your job to provide you what you need, you don't know Jehovah Jireh. But He's not just the Lord our provider. He's also Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. The next time you are in a time of stress or turmoil or fear or anxiety or tension or worry, try praising Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Ask Him for a peace that passes understanding. Ask Him to rise up in your storm and declare, peace, be still. Let me tell you something. Ye who labor and are heavy laden, come to Him. He will give you rest. He is the Lord your peace. That is His character. Do you know that today? Sometimes we don't go to God because we think He doesn't care about the little things. Or we got ourselves in this, or we'll get ourselves out of it. But I've come to tell you today, He wants to give you peace. Peace of mind, peace in your heart, peace all around you. Satan is the author of confusion. He wants to keep you on edge, stressed out, anxious. But Paul said, be anxious for nothing. With all your supplication, let all your needs be known unto God, who cares for you. Lord of peace. My God. But He's not just Jehovah Shalom. He's Jehovah Rophe, the Lord, our healer. Jehovah Shalom is first identified, primarily identified in Judges chapter 6, verse 24. I'm sorry, I didn't share that with you a moment ago. Judges chapter 6, verse 24. Let me tell you, when you see, anyone ever notice in your Bible, sometimes the word Lord, L-O-R-D, is all cap, and sometimes it's a capital L with a lowercase O-R-D? Those are different words. When it's all cap, it's saying Jehovah. A covenant name, a promise name. A capital L, lowercase O-R-D is Adonai. Lordship and ownership. They're different words. That's why you want to study these out. Because then you start seeing the promises of God in the Bible. Because if God promised it to one, He promised it to all. In Judges 6:24, He says, I am the Lord your peace. That means you as well. In Exodus 15:26, we are introduced to Jehovah Rophe, the Lord our healer. Exodus 15:26. But you can see the truth of this throughout Scripture. When we talk about the Lord our healer, we're talking about physical, spiritual, and emotional. So often we just look at the physical needs. And rightly so. David in Psalm 103 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. That's Jehovah Rophe, the healer of the physical. But also, He heals spiritually. Psalm 41, verses 3 through 4 says, the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. But now listen to this. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. There He's saying, look, before you heal my body, heal my soul. But it's not just physical and spiritual. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it's also emotional. Jesus, opening His earthly ministry, said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. Your healing will bring wholeness because it's physical, spiritual, and emotional. Jehovah Rophe. Do you know Him today? How about Jehovah Tsidkenu? Now you see why I put it up there. That's a tough one to spell. The T is silent. Tsidkenu. The Lord our righteousness. This is first identified, or primarily identified, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. Later on in Jeremiah 33. This is so important. Satan wins many victories when we do not realize that our God is Jehovah Tsidkenu. When we have failed, when we have stumbled, when we have sinned against God, Satan jumps up and says, you're unworthy, you're weak, you're guilty, you are inadequate, you are insufficient, you can't do anything worthwhile for God. But that's when we must know the character of God. Because if we know who God is, then we know that we could turn to Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And that once we have been forgiven, once we have repented of our sin, God will clothe us not with our righteousness, but with His righteousness. So that we will be cleansed. Read in the Word of God, Zechariah. Read in Zechariah chapter 3. When Satan is accusing the high priest of God, saying, look at the sin on him. Look at this pathetic excuse. And he's supposed to be the most righteous one. And God says, hold on for a minute. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. And he takes off the man's hat and he puts on holiness to the Lord to cover his head. And he puts righteousness and clothes him in the righteousness of Christ. And he says, that's my child, a brand plucked from the fire. That's a reason for somebody to praise God today. We can't get into heaven because of our righteousness. Thank God that we have His. Do you know Jehovah Tsidkenu? Do you know Jehovah Sabaoth? the Lord of hosts. That means Jehovah is the Lord over the angel armies. We see this in many places. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 3, he is identified as Jehovah Sabaoth. But you see the premise of this in places like 2 Kings chapter 6. When the king has surrounded Elisha to destroy him, and Elisha's servant is scared for his life, and Elisha begins to pray, and he says, "Oh God, open his eyes that he see there are more for us than there are of them." And the servant's eyes were open, and he saw the angel armies of God surrounding the enemy, waiting to see if he was going to move toward the man of God. The angel armies were going to put an end to it right there. I've come to tell you there are more of us than there are of them. Only a third of the angels fell from the heaven. That means for every one that fell, there are two that are fighting on your side. To see to it, they are encamped about you. They are there to protect and to provide and to bring the word of God into your life. Jesus on the cross said, "Don't you know I can call 12 legions of angels?" With one angel, God slaughtered 185,000 Assyrians. Whew. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. There ain't nothing the enemy can do that's going to take you out. Amen? Amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God praise for that. You know what? Sometimes you're not in a battle, though. Sometimes, just like Sister Brenda said, you're in a pool house. Alone. And that's where you need to know Jehovah Shammah. Literally translated, the Lord who is there. Amen. Identified in Ezekiel 48 verse 35. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. A very present help in our time of trouble. Never leave us, never forsake us. Where is God today, you ask? He is here. He is the Lord who is with us. He has promised He will never leave us. So the next time you feel all alone, remember who He is and praise Jehovah Shammah that He is by your side every step of the way. I'm going somewhere with this, so stick with me. Jehovah Shammah, we must know. Jehovah Nissi, Exodus 17 verse 15. We talk about Jehovah Nissi, literally translated, the Lord our banner. What that means, it's the standard that is carried into battle. It means that God is our point man. He is carrying the victory. He is leading the armies. He is fighting our battles. That the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. Our success reflects what God is doing through us, not what we have accomplished on our own. And our victories only occur when we understand the battle is the Lord's. You know, if you ever see someone who is going through the same battle over and over and over, they don't know Jehovah Nissi. Because there is victory in Jesus. He is our banner. He's not only Jehovah Nissi, He's Jehovah M. Kadesh. The Lord our sanctifier. Exodus 31 and 13. Leviticus 20 and verse 8. You can read about Jehovah M. Kadesh. Many other places as well. But the Lord is the one who makes us holy. Sanctified, what that literally means, it's not just a purification. It is being set aside for the use of God. There are many Christians who have not yet met Jehovah M. Kadesh, because they have not allowed themselves to be set aside for the use of God's purposes. They're afraid to take a step. They don't feel like, you know, whenever you hear a preacher use that old adage, God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. They're talking about Jehovah M. Kadesh. Jehovah M. Kadesh equips the called. He's the one who makes you able to do what He's called you to do. Let me share one more with you, and then I want to show you something beautiful. Look back up at the top. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. Who wants to take a guess at where this is most profound? What verse? What scripture? Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. That is Jehovah Rohi. He is our guide. He leads us. He feeds us. He comforts us. No other name that God carries conveys the tenderness and intimacy as does Jehovah Rohi. Now, understand something. In this coming week, that's part of our reading. Many of you can quote it. Many of you have it on some kind of picture or plaque somewhere in your home or in an office. But I want to show you why the 23rd Psalm is so critical to our faith. It does indeed open up by saying, "The Lord is our shepherd, Jehovah Rohi." It goes on to say, "I shall not want." Why? Because Jehovah Jireh is my provider. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. Because He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. He restores my soul. He is Jehovah Rophe, the Lord my healer. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Because He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because He is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord, my protector. And You art with me, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies because You are Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, my standard, my bearer. You anoint my head with oil because You are Jehovah Imkadesh, my sanctifier, my anointer, my holiness. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because Jesus is the Lord, my salvation. Do you know Jehovah today? Do you know the Lord your God today? To those who only know religion, He is a distant deity. To those who only know religion, He is an unknown God. But for those who know Jehovah, for those who know Jesus, He is a very present help in our time of trouble. A friend who sticks closer than a brother. He is the great teacher, the great physician, the great shepherd, and the great I am. Do you know Him today? If you only know religion, He is a God too busy to care about you. But if you know Jehovah, if you know Jesus, He is called Wonderful. He is called Counselor. He is the branch of the Lord and the root of David. He is the true vine, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Do you know Him today? If you only know religion, He is a rabbit's foot that you hold on to for luck. But if you know Jehovah, if you know Jesus, He is the only begotten of the Father, the firstborn of the dead, the resurrection and the life. He is the stone that the builders rejected, the rock of my salvation, the head of the church, the desire of all nations, the Holy One of Israel. Do you know Him today? If you only know religion, He is a genie in the bottle who you expect to give you your wish if you rub Him the right way. But if you know Jehovah, if you know Jesus, He is the great high priest who is at the right hand of the Father, the advocate making intercession for you today, the mediator between God and man. He is a true bread from heaven. He is the living water. He is the light of the world, the bright and the morning star, and the fairest of 10,000. Somebody shout Jesus. If you only know religion, He is just another way to God, another name for God. But if you know Jehovah, if you know Jesus, you know He is the spotless Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Word become flesh, the faithful and true witness, the author and the finisher of our faith, the captain of our salvation, the Alpha and the Omega. He is called Mighty God. He is called Everlasting Father. He is called Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Can you give him praise today? Hallelujah. Do you know him today? Psalm chapter 9 says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people." We're going to do exactly that. We're going to sing praises unto the Lord. Because here's the reality. Some of you know those names of God. You've seen God operate in that character. And that's a reason to praise God. Some of you don't know God in those ways. But now you've heard the word of the Lord. And his word shall not return void. It shall accomplish the purpose with which it was sent. So now you see a new facet of God. Don't think that's strange. You know the angels in heaven. When Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 gives a picture of heaven, he sees three angels that are soaring around the throne of God. And they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." It's one of the names we just studied. What the early Hebrew writers included from their discussions with Isaiah is this. When those angels were crying, "Holy, holy, holy," it's not just a matter of identifying the Trinity, though that is a true biblical application. It was also because those angels, all they do for all eternity is circle the throne of God and shout praises. And every time they circle the throne and they come into the presence of God Jehovah, they see a new facet of His character that they've never seen in all of eternity. So wonderful, so beautiful, it causes them to cry out, "Holy!" They're always seeing a new facet of His character. I've only given you a handful today. But it's enough to get us through. Amen? If maybe today you're struggling with something, we're going to open this altar in just a moment. Maybe you need healing physically, spiritually, or emotionally. And now you know He's Jehovah Rophe. That maybe you need a provision of something that you aren't able to do. You ran out of money before you ran out of month. They're laying off at work. Do you know Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider? Maybe you've come in and you say, "Lord, I made a mess of things this week. I said things I shouldn't have said. I did things I shouldn't have done." Do you know Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord your righteousness? Do you know that if you'll repent and turn away of that right now, He'll cleanse you? That's what He said to Isaiah. "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be scarlet, I will make them white as snow." Some of you have an urging in your spirit and you can't get away from it. You know God is calling you to do a work that you've never done before, that you might not feel equipped to do, able to do. You may not want to do it. But you say, "You know what? He's Jehovah Im Kadesh, the Lord my sanctifier. He sets me apart." Whew. If you got it all together, then you just know He's Jehovah Rohi. And we're going to praise Him in a minute. But for everybody else, Father, we thank You, Lord. I thank You, God, that if we know Your name, we know Your character. We get a picture, just like those angels that Isaiah saw. We see a new facet of Your wonder, of Your goodness, of Your promise. You are so awesome, great and awesome, God. The great I am. Lord, I know I am not, but I thank You that I know I am. You are everything. Everything I need. Christ, You are everything I desire to be. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Lord, I pray right now as we prepare to open this altar, I believe, God, that you gave this word for a reason. There are people who have seen, just like those angels, a new facet of your character. They've come in today with an issue, worried about something, heavy laden with something, burdened by something, troubled by something. But now that 23rd Psalm is resonating in their spirit. Yes. They recognize that you are our shepherd. I shall not want. You maketh me to lie down beside green pastures, beside still waters. Lord, I believe that's what this altar is right here. The green pastures and the still waters, where you will restore our soul, where you will win our battles, where you will provide and meet our need. Whew. Church, whatever it is, Jehovah awaits us with open arms. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can cast our cares upon you because you care for us. As we do so in this altar call, I pray that the presence of God be stronger than we've ever known it to be in our lives. For this, we give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This altar is open to all who would seek Jehovah for any need this morning. Hallelujah.